Blog Talk Radio.
First night, all I think about is you. Don't stop, baby, you can walk too. Don't want, but I think about you. You know that I'm never gonna lose.
Welcome back to the Crest Number Intelligence Report. Starring Michael Chiarillo and Michael Gowdy.
Yay! Oh, yeah.
So we just came off of a two-week hiatus, three-week hiatus, something like that. For all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
A lot has happened
couple
during
weeks.
That time. A couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
One of which, and the main thing I wanted to talk about, because I feel like we could probably talk about this throughout the whole show, but I saw the Chris Rock special, the live Netflix special.
Yes.
You did too. I think we've talked about on this show, and we both kind of came to the same conclusion that what Will Smith did was like a huge, huge bitch move. Just a bitch-ass
right.
move.
Agreed.
A lot of what I thought about the situation is pretty much what Chris Rock said about it. Like, his whole take on it was pretty much exactly how I felt. Although, I will add that I think anybody who wants to come up on stage and take a swipe at a comedian, unless the motherfucker's telling you your mom is like a dirty dog piece of shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no reason
mm-hmm.
to go up and smack somebody for that shit. And comedy, to me, has always been sacred. So I don't think that somebody who makes a bad joke needs to be slapped in the face. That's just not how I feel. And Chris got slapped in the face by a dude, as he says, was like twice his size, you know. Will Smith is
yep.
an athlete for all intents and purposes. Like, Will Smith has
right.
always been in great shape. You know, he films himself doing all this crazy sports shit and shit, too. Like, the man is...
Yep.
He's a big dude. And Chris, everybody knows Chris Rock is a little short, little skinny-ass motherfucker. Like, he always been that. That's what he's always been.
Right.
You know? And I know for me... I thought that was a big L for Will because let's just go through the slap, right? So Chris Rock gets up on stage to host the Oscars. This is what he does. This is his job. He's been doing it for how many years? How many years has he been hosting the Oscars?
It's been a few times. Yeah, it's been a pretty regular occurrence. Yep.
Right. And as we know, because Ricky Gervais does the same shit, these comedians like Chris Rock and Ricky Gervais, they'll insult the audience. And
right.
since it's Hollywood that they're insulting, like every single one of these motherfuckers should have a sense of humor about themselves. All of those
you
people
think.
Sitting down there, these rich-ass motherfuckers, like to
mm-hmm.
start off with, they should all have a sense of humor about themselves.
Right.
Because Your job is to pretend to be something, and now you're sitting in a place where they're trying to give you an award for pretending to be that thing.
Right. Well, and also,
like,
let's mention that with specifically with regard to Will Smith is
right.
Will Smith has, you know, done sitcoms. He's done funny movies. Like, it's not like
yes.
he is devoid of humor in his own dealings and his own career.
Well, that's what you expect.
Right.
That's what you'd expect. And even like, and what you're saying is also very pointed and very, very essential to my feelings about the situation, which is that I don't understand that Will was laughing initially at the joke. He laughed at the joke.
Yes.
Chris Rock
I think that is the fact that often has gone overlooked as this thing has played out. That exactly what you said. Like when he first made the joke, Will Smith was like snickering. Like he thought it was funny.
He really did. I watched him laugh. I watched him laugh at the joke. And then motherfucker turns his head and Jada got that puss on her
and
face.
And his wife
like,
gave him
oh,
that look.
Oh, hell no.
Yep. mm-hmm.
And this motherfucker got up. That look, regardless of what, whose fault it is for him being the way he is, regardless of the choices he made, because obviously he chooses to stay with this woman. Regardless, despite, and I think this particular thing we did talk about on the show is her putting him on blast on her social media. I don't know if you saw that video, but there's a video that was out that was basically like them coming into a house or an apartment building, and she's like haranguing him and shit, and like trying to get him to like. I think she's like trying to get him to come on Red Table Talk or some shit about her show. And he's like not really into it and he doesn't want to talk about it at the moment. And she's forcing him to talk about it like live on IG or some shit. Like she's throwing the shit on her social media and it's just to get him to capitulate. Like she's using his audience against him.
Well, it's funny you say that because I did not watch that video, but I also did not watch the video that Chris Rock was alluding to in the special where I guess it's kind of like the same dynamic where she's basically like asking him how he feels about her banging this other dude, which is super awkward. And like, I don't know if it's like a power game with her or like what their dynamic is, but it's super weird to me that she would like ask him questions on camera about how he feels about her sleeping with these other people.
Well, that's a good point too. Because I mean, I've watched several episodes of her show and again, I'm just as fascinated by things that I find distasteful as by things that I find wonderful. So, I'll do the same amount of research for something I don't like as for something I do like. I feel like everybody should be that way. I know it's an arrogant thing to say, but I feel like you should actually know the things that you're going to talk against. I guess that's a radical idea, but I do feel like, for example, I'm not going to hear one Backstreet Boys song and say they suck, although I'll think it because I know the rest of their catalog is going to suck. So I'll listen to like a bunch of Backstreet Boys songs. Not, you know, I'm not going to listen to a whole album. I just don't have that kind of patience. But I'll listen to like a bunch of different things and sample an artist's music. And if they suck, then I know they suck. You know what I mean? Then I could say, yeah, I've heard this song and that song and this song, and I think they're pretty crappy. And
right.
I think we should all put that effort into that because everybody just dismisses things. One of the reasons I don't like to tell people about cool things is because I don't think I've ever been able to explain something to somebody that I'm excited about without sounding like a fucking idiot about it. You know what I mean? Like I always feel like every time I'm telling somebody like, oh, you should watch this. It's great. It's great. They're just like, yeah, yeah, Mike. Okay. Even though I'm telling like, this is the greatest thing and they would like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, I don't know how to get people to like the things that I like. I feel like I'm, why the fuck am I talking about this anyway?
Cause you're talking about her channel and her videos.
Oh yeah. So yeah, the point was, course I get sidetracked. The point was, I've watched a lot of her shit. Like, I've seen her Red Table Talks and stuff. And it's some of the most pretentious fucking drivel I've ever seen. Like, her whole point is for her to feel validated. So she slaps people down at this table where she's the queen and basically says, you know, deigns to give her orders to everyone at the table. And it's basically she's just talking about some dumb shit she did or whatever, and then she's getting all these other people to validate her for doing this. And she decided that in order to get past this shit with her husband, he needed to sit down with her at this red table where she is the queen and her rules are, you know, everyone talks, right? She's got rules for the shit. Like, it's a really pretentious artifice in general.
Do they, like, pass around, like, a baton and whoever holds the baton?
That's the principle. Same principle as that. You know, they don't pass around the baton and whoever gets to speak is the one holding the baton. They don't do that. But it's
okay.
The same principle. Because when you're at the red table, you have to talk. There's no, you know, so it's the same ass principle, but somehow an even more pretentious way of doing it. You know, it's even more pretentious.
Right.
So her whole thing is basically for people to come on and say, you know, Katie, you're the best. That's what she wants. That's what she gets out of her red table. I don't know why she wanted. The only reason she would put her husband on blast like that is to humiliate him. And I think she gets off on humiliating him.
Hmm. I mean, it seems that way.
The story that really kind of made me not like her was, well, I guess they were like recently married, or it was like maybe their first wedding anniversary or some shit, a birthday. But he goes to all this trouble to get like her artists, her favorite artists, and he goes like he does this like big extravagant thing, spends a lot of time and money putting it together, and he didn't like it. But instead of saying to her husband, oh, hey, this is amazing. I'm so, you know, I'm so flabbergasted that you did this. It's such an amazing thing. You know, maybe next time or as like an addendum, we could do this instead, like communicating with your husband, but at least appreciating
right.
the effort. This bitch, instead of doing that, sat with a sourpuss the whole time and ruined the whole event. You know what
really?
I mean? Like she just could, like, she couldn't separate. Her whole thing was, oh, this is so, how disgusting this is, how big and extravagant and stupid and disgusting and petty all of this is. Like,
right.
she was legitimately, like, angry at him. And I don't feel ever like you should discount the intent of somebody. I've had people give me gifts that I wasn't a fan of, but I said to them, I was like, you know, thanks for thinking of me. Like, you got to be polite.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the situation. Right?
Right. Got to be some decorum or some, like, you know, basic civilness.
I mean, unless, let's say for your birthday, Mick, I said we're going out on the town, right? So what happens? Like, we go out, you get robbed and raped, and I leave you with your arms cut off in a ditch, right?
What else is there?
You'd be like, well, that wasn't a very good present. Like, it's okay to be sour
right.
about some shit like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But when somebody's, like, putting on this whole,
right, but
this
like
whole
if we,
thing
if we, if
for
we,
you.
If we went to, yeah, I was going to say, if you took me to dinner and I just happened to not like the food, I wouldn't be like a dick towards you because I didn't like the food.
Right.
I would just be like, all right, well, at
right.
least, you know, at least you did something nice. It may have not worked out the way I wanted it to, but the effort was still there on your part to do something nice.
The effort was, and it's always, to me, it's always the thought that counts, man. I can't tell
exactly.
you how, like, I've had my sister, she gave me a present she gave me for my birthday. Was she drew a picture of a character that Danny DeVito does on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. His character
right.
also plays a character. and it's hilarious. And it's like this weird combination of like Andy Warhol and Danny DeVito, and it's insane. And
yeah,
but she drew it and like painted it herself, like she colored it and all this stuff. And I was like, hey, that's like a really thoughtful thing. Was it expensive? No. You know what I mean? But it was like
she put an effort into something.
I like it.
Thoughtful,
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it was a thoughtful ass gift, and that's you can't look at your partner who just tried to do a whole bunch of shit to please you, and then make them feel
right.
like shit for that. I'm not into that's not my vibe at all anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not. I can't condone that shit.
Yeah.
And she did that, and she's done other shit. You know what I mean? And it's very telling what kind of person she is that he could look at her after laughing at this stupid, mild-ass joke that Chris Rock has told against other people in different ways. This was just
mm-hmm.
a shitty throwaway insult joke. It wasn't that funny. Yeah. But like, that's just what happens. And your highfalutin ass, who is a privileged motherfucker, can't sit there and take a damn joke. Why? Because you have alopecia? Because you're insecure about your alopecia? Bitch, you went on TV and told everybody you had it. And nobody gave a shit because your ass has been bald for years. They'd have been bald for years.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody gave a shit, right?
Right.
You know, some people just don't like to have hair. I think we're at the point, you know, we still have a ways to go with acceptance of, like, gays and trans people and stuff like that. But, like, I think bald people we've figured out. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're okay with that. That's not something that you have to confess to the world that you bald. Like,
it is a little bit different for women, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, it's not.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
you are right. Yeah, I won't discount that. You're right. This is why you're here,
but like you said.
You know what I mean?
Like you said, I mean, I'm glad there's some reason. But like you said, I mean, the joke was like, it seemed stupid and harmless. Like, it wasn't, like, I don't think he was going in on her by any means or anything like that. It was just kind of like a flippant remark. And it seemed like that would be the end of it.
So, what this dude does, and I mean, just based on decorum alone, like, that was an L for Will. Like, I don't think anybody else, like, the only person I would think would do some shit like that would be, like, a gangster rapper who is still trying to prove his mettle. You know what I mean? It's like, why are you talking about my woman like that? Some type of shit. Like,
Right.
But that's not Will Smith. Will Smith has never billed himself as a gangster.
No, he is not.
And even then, I don't think what he did was very gangster at all. Go up to the motherfucker and be like, yo, man, I don't like your joke. Backstage, during a break.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
later,
it would have been so easy.
Call the motherfucker a week later and be like, yo, man, like, why are you always fucking with my girl?
It would
have
been
now.
So easy to go up to him backstage and be like, yo, man, that wasn't the right place, right time. Like, he could very easily, like, squash it behind the scenes, and it would have never – nobody would have ever known. It's not like Chris Rock would have went, like – you know, on Twitter and be like, hey, Will Smith told me that was a rude joke. Like, he would have just kept it moving, and that would have been the end of it, and nobody would have been the wiser, and that's it. Like, it could have very easily gone down like that.
It could have, and it should have, and that's what's so bizarre about, because it's something Dave Chappelle touched upon, too, because Dave Chappelle, I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that he's been saying lately. I do still think he's very funny. I think he also has a problem with punching down, which, like, the greats like George Carlin, he'd never punched down. He didn't have jokes about shit like that. He was always talking about people in power and shit. George Carlin was very much a punch-upper, you know?
Yep.
But Chappelle is bitter. There's no other way to put it. Chappelle is bitter, but he is right when he said that Will Smith has had a mask on for all these years, and this was him taking his mask off. I agree with that statement. Chappelle doesn't want him to put the mask back on. I would like him to put the mask back on because I think what he showed was disgusting. It was it was awful. He made a choice at this very public. This motherfucker was on international TV because other countries watched the Oscars too. Okay? Yeah. International TV. Millions and millions of people. This motherfucker got up out of his chair at a ceremony to get his to walk his ass on stage with no, like, Chris Rock was like leaning his face into it. You know, my man's was like, you know, like he had no idea what was coming.
Yeah.
You know, like he was like bent forward to greet Will as he came up on stage and
right.
to have Will like just walk up to, and that was it was such a bizarre slap too. Did you see that slap? Like the way that he slapped him, he like lingered at the end of it for a second. Like he realized what he did, and then he just like immediately turned his back. And, like, you know, I think he was, like, correcting his suit and whatnot as he walked back down. And, like, that to me was one of the most cowardly things I've ever seen on television. It was cowardly as fuck, man. Because Rock did not see that coming. Nobody
right.
did. It wasn't fair.
And,
it wasn't a fair, quote-unquote, fight.
And... So, like, see, we can get into the actual special itself, and I'm sure we will.
Right.
But one thing he said at the end, which is 100% true, and like you mentioned it, how Will Smith slapped him and then turned his back and started walking away. So at that point, Chris Rock has zero recourse because if he hits him back, he's hitting him from behind, which is a bitch
right.
move. And like Chris Rock mentioned in the special, if Chris Rock hits him back, then it's, oh, black people don't know how to act. And even like two, you know, black people that we've like elevated to this like level resort to fighting on stage in front of the world.
Right.
Like at that point, Chris Rock has zero recourse to anything
it's an L
other
for
than
everybody.
Style.
It's an L for black people if they did that.
Exactly.
That's an L for them.
Exactly. Yep. And like I said, it's not like Will Smith slapped him and then squared up. You know what I mean? It's,
right.
like, it's not like he slapped him and said, what are you going to do? And like, you know, ready to go throw hands. He slapped him and turned around. So Chris Rock could not do anything. Like, what's he going to do? Jump him from behind at that point? Then he's the asshole.
I would have loved to see him hop on Will Smith's back and just start like chewing on his ear or something. Like, I would have loved to
but
see
then,
that shit.
But then he's the bad guy.
Word, but
Will Smith did even more of a bitch move because he knew he was putting Chris Rock in that position of like he can't do anything, he can't defend himself.
Because he knew he could. Chris, like you said, you know, when we'll get into the special, but like that, his mic drop at the end of that special, I thought was special. It was a fucking fantastic last line to end the special on. Just a fantastic line. And we'll get into
he's right.
So I'm still just like, even after all this time, I'm still so fascinated by the fact that that slap happened. And there are people who are saying, oh, Chris needs to get over it. And these are the same people who are saying, oh, Chris deserved it. Like none of these people have a logical argument. We don't teach our children to go up to somebody and slap them in the face because they said words at us. None of us teach our kids that. We don't.
Right.
Well, there's probably some pretty disgusting people who teach their kids that. But, you know, in general, society does not teach people to be violent because of words. There's laws against it, in fact. Many, many intricate laws that protect people from these kind of things. Okay, words should not cause someone to be violent. And while they do, because you have idiots that listen to Trump, like it's a double-edged sword. There's, you know, free speech as we know, is a fucking minefield. It's, the, you know, the line is kind of arbitrary depending on who's in power, right?
Right.
But we do protect people's right to say things in a public space and not get punched in the face for it. There are laws for that, which is why
yeah.
we don't teach our kids to do that. So why would it be okay for you to do that? And this man made the decision, not only did it was, it's still so bizarre. He goes mm-hmm. up, he like hesitates for a second, slaps this dude out of nowhere, like hesitates again, turns around,
right.
buttons his shit, walks back and sit down. But he ain't done yet either.
No, but he's still sort of like yelling at him and cursing from his seat.
Then
like a crazy
he puts
person.
A fucking period on it, right? He puts that exclamation point on it by calling this, keep my wife's name out your motherfucking... I mean, is this the place
yep.
for this to... Like, I think it's such a bitch move because he didn't do that sitting in public place in a motherfucking, like, a Starbucks outside in a public square. This motherfucker did
right.
that shit in the middle of the Oscars where he was...
Yeah.
Safe as a motherfucker. And that particular point was very highlighted by the fact that everybody didn't do fucking anything after that happened. Nobody
mm-hmm.
was like, yo, what the fuck, bro? Not one of these fucking pansy ass, safe little bitch ass Hollywood motherfuckers did a goddamn thing for Chris Rock. Not a
That's
motherfucker
the craziest-
did.
That's the craziest part about it to me is that it's not like the slap happened and then the show was over and everybody went home. The slap happened. The show went on for like another 2 hours. Will Smith won an Oscar and did like a 10-minute speech. You know what I mean? And then
they gave the assaulter a fucking award. They did not take
like
him away.
Like 20 minutes later. It was like 20 minutes later. And then like
and then
the show goes on like nothing else
during,
happened.
You know, it's bizarre.
Right.
It's bizarre.
The show goes on like nothing happened. He wins an award and gets a speech. You know, the show ends. He hosts an after party that like hundreds
right.
of celebrities and dignitaries
yep.
attend. It's just so fucking weird. Like, there was no, like, backlash or consequence. It was like that didn't even happen until, like, the next day. Oh, the media's making a big deal of this. Like, how is it not a big deal?
I don't get any of the mentality that surrounds championing this man for that. I honestly think it was the pussiest move he could have made ever because
right.
he was so insulated by everything. And then you, like I said, these same people are saying, oh, Rock needs to get over it. You know what this guy did? And he's been testing out his material. Like he was, some of the material that's in the special is stuff that he's been doing on the road for a bit, like including some of the Will Smith stuff.
I was going to mention that because I saw some of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, He was doing some of the material. So it's not like this is brand new and he's like just getting around to having feelings about it. But this motherfucker got slapped in the face in front of the world. And if it takes him a year to respond and he wants to respond through a comedy special, fucking God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
That's his fucking right. That is his right. This man, even
right.
though he says he's not, even though he demands that we don't see him as a victim, was a victim in that scenario. He was the victim of that scenario.
Yep.
And if the victim of this scenario feels that they need to express this through stand-up and then a Netflix special, I honestly don't understand why people would have an issue with that. Like, why is it not okay to monetize his response when everything is so public anyway? Why would he not do that?
Of course. Of course.
That's not a moral conundrum for me.
No, I wouldn't think so either. But I like what he's supposed to do.
I see
just look like a bitch and get slapped, and then just sit there and do nothing. I mean, you might as well, you know, they say turn lemons into lemonade. You know what I mean? Like at that point,
right?
He is smart for trying to figure out, okay, what can I get out of this? Because the only thing I got out of it so far is looking like a bitch.
Right. And I don't even think he looked like a bitch. Like I was.
No, I know.
I never thought for a second, like. No, I know what you. I know
right.
what you mean. But like personally, I think you feel the same way. I didn't think he was the bitch in that scenario. Immediately when it happened, I immediately instinctually thought, that was some bitch-ass shit on Will's part.
Yes.
That was some bitch-ass shit. Ain't nobody ever hosted the Oscars thinking that somebody was going to come up and slap them on stage. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now people are going to have security on the fucking Oscar stage. We're going to have to see these fucking bald-ass, big-ass bouncer heads while the people are presenting now. Like, and you know, I don't really watch the Oscars, man. I don't give a shit.
Neither do I.
No. It's not. Even when Chris Rock's hosting, and I love Chris Rock because I loved his SNL cast and him on that. Like, those are some funny fucking years when he was on SNL, you know? And that's why I will always fuck with Chris Rock. And I love his specials. And this one, some of his material was dated. There was some material like the you know, how money equals pussy was his bit. Like, dude, people have been doing that bit for like fucking, you know, 30, 40 years.
Right.
You know, I'm surprised he even put that in the special. It would just seem like such an archaic piece of material, very dated, you know.
Right.
Because he was just equating money to women and vagina, you know?
Yep.
And it wasn't my favorite part. I'm not going to say it was super awful because Chris Rock really is a funny dude. Like, his delivery is amazing. He's a fantastic comedian, you know?
Agreed.
And that carried him through that material. And he didn't talk about the Will and Jada thing till the end. But I feel like till the last, like, 5 minutes. He pushed it to the last 5 minutes. And I think – I know I was like, hoping that it would have done sooner. Because it wasn't my favorite comedy special in the world, but it was, like, a good Chris Rock comedy special. Like
– Okay. So, I'm curious to get to the review part. Because this is where I agree. So, like, I think – you know, like, I didn't watch Carlin live. You know what I mean? I didn't,
right.
you know, when he was around much. I mean, I did watch a couple of the specials towards the end, but, like, in his heyday, that was before my time. Same thing
right.
with, like, you know, Benny Bruce and Richard Pryor and guys like that. So for my, you know, late childhood, early adulthood, whatever, Chris Rock was the funniest stand-up that I've seen.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And, like, I could watch, you know, Bring the Pain in Bigger and Blacker. I could watch that, like, on a 24-hour loop and laugh the entire time. So,
right.
Like, you know, I don't want to say that in a way where, like, I'm, like, blind to his faults or whatever. But, yeah, for the most part, I'm just kind of like, all right, he's good. Whatever he does is good.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'm watching this special, and like you said, like, I laughed at certain points and I thought it was a decent
right.
special, but at no point was I like hysterical, like cackling, like, oh my God, this is like retro 25 years ago, Chris Rock.
Right. Yeah.
But like you said, like I walked away thinking like, okay, that was fun. Like that was a good time. Like, you know,
it was fun.
I didn't really have any like major issues with it. And then it's just, I don't know if it's one of those perspective things or if I'm being too much like of a fanboy or whatever, but,
right.
you know, then I'm seeing reviews after the fact and he's getting trashed because kind of like the criticism you just mentioned, you know, he's outdated. He's still picking on trans people, this and that. Like, it was just like, basically saying, you know, he's the establishment man now, and he's the old man, and he's just basically, you know, out of touch with what's funny. And I'm like, I almost feel like I haven't rewatched it yet, but I almost feel like I want to rewatch it and be like, man, did I miss something? Because I just feel like he's getting dragged for, like, how bad the special was. And I'm just like, was it really that bad? Like, I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. And the thing is, like, one of the things I've always admired about Chris Rock is he's this little fucking dude, right? He's not a tall guy.
Right.
He's not a muscular guy. He's always been
looking
probably
skinny, like
5'9",
180 probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of dude that a guy my size can probably pick up with one arm and just like a ladder and just walk him over.
Yep.
But like whenever this dude is on stage and he's feeling his material, and I'm sure you've noticed this because you've seen so many of his shit, this motherfucker stalks the stage like a tiger. Like, he literally stalks around the stage like a fucking predatory animal. And I love it when he does that shit. Because he treats that like this is an unassuming guy who, once you put him on the stage, turns into a fucking beast. And he commands it.
Yes.
He commands the motherfucking stage. And like I said, even the shit, like, even though I really wasn't a fan of the dated part that I just talked about, the way he delivers it is always going to be funny to me, man. He's always just got like this great delivery, you know? Like, I didn't laugh like super hard because I realized what I was laughing at, but like it wasn't like unfunny. It was just like, maybe skip this one next time.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I wasn't, like, offended by any of it, whereas, like, people, like, I'm seeing, like, reviews, and they're like, this might as well have been on Fox News.
Like, because nobody understands what a comedy special is supposed to be. And this is what pisses me off about people.
Right.
A comedy special is sacred. You watch the comedy special from beginning to end. You don't like some parts, you maybe like a lot of parts. If you don't like a lot of parts, you say, I wasn't a big fan of this one. And then that's it, because it's a capsule.
Right.
It's a capsule of time and art. Like, it's a presentation to you. The whole thing is a show. You can't judge an entire comedy set based on one part of it. You can't do that. That's not how comedy is supposed to work.
I agree.
It's not. It's not. You say, I thought that comedy special was a good comedy special. And the reason I say that is because it was Chris Rock doing his thing on stage, which I adore and I always have. And I like and always will. Anything he said wasn't too shitty enough to put people in danger. He didn't say anything in that comedy special to put anybody in danger. He didn't trash anybody to the point. I mean, Jada maybe, but you know, did you notice during that special? Did you notice he never said her name once? Did you notice that?
Well, but that's the other thing. So I'm reading these reviews and they're like, all he did was refer to her as that bitch, this bitch, and it's like, it's so antiquated and it's so anti, you know, it's so misogynistic, and I'm just like, but that's what he does, like this, like, have you not been around for the last 30 years? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. And this is where, like, I feel conflicted, and I'm kind of glad we're on the same. I'm actually very glad we're on the same page because I value your opinion on these things a lot.
Right.
But like, there's times where I'm like, okay, I'm a liberal guy, and I want to see people uplifted. I don't want to see everybody torn down. And they're like,
yes.
All these people that are just like saying, oh, well, he's still too antiquated and too misogynistic and too this and that. And I'm just kind of like, again, like, I don't know. Like, am I being too much of a fanboy? But to me, I'm just like,
just don't watch him. Just don't watch him.
Yeah, then just don't watch. Right. Like, what did you think this was going to be? Like, I don't know.
That's the other thing, man. Like, HBO comedy specials were great because if you like the comedian, you could watch a special, and it was usually good because HBO had high standards at one point.
Yeah.
Now they give a fucking I don't even – do you know who Brendan Schaub is? Do you know who he is?
The name sounds familiar, but I probably would not be able to pick him out of a lineup.
Well, he is – he is one of Joe Rogan's buddies, and Joe Rogan is actually responsible for some of the fucking worst comedians on the planet. Like, he's got this circle of protection. Like, it really – he has basically turned half of a comedy scene into a bunch of, like, really dumb, unfunny retards. And I need to find another word that describes that, because the R word is a bad word, but I don't use that. To, you know, my nephew is on the spectrum, and
yep.
I know many people on the spectrum. I don't use that word to describe those people. I've always used that word to mean somebody who is just like an idiot.
Yeah.
Just a moron. Just like a brainless. You know, like maybe they got dropped on the head as a baby type shit. Like, they're just fucking, something's wrong with their brain, you know?
Yep.
I don't think there's something wrong with autistic brains. I don't, they just operate on different levels. I've always had that belief. Like, my mom told me this story about one of the kids that she taught, because she was a special needs TA in like East Chester and White Plains for most of her adult life.
Okay.
And, there was this kid who, he was autistic. I think he might have been nonverbal. And do you know what stims are? Do you know what autistic stim?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is? Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of his stims was he would manipulate water in his palm by just like popping it up in like brief spasms to make like these perfect water droplets that would like, it was like a absolutely insanely mathematical talent that he did naturally. And I almost feel like and this is obviously, I'm not a scientist, but I've always kind of felt like autists have their like brain cells, you know, the majority of their thinking in different parts of their brain than quote unquote normal people do, you know, they're not deficient. Their resources have been spent elsewhere, and we may never know exactly where those resources have been spent, because a lot of them are nonverbal, you know, like savants could be, every single autist could be a savant, and we just don't know it, because their quote unquote power could be like counting clouds, and they've counted every single cloud they've ever seen on the planet, and they can't say anything. Like fascinating. Like autists are just so encapsulated in their own brains. So I would never use a word now, at least. Obviously, when we were kids, it was different. But I would never call somebody like that a retard or a Down syndrome person a retard. Like, the only people I've ever called retard in the last 10 years have been my friends. So I know I need to phase that word out. But like these comics that Joe Rogan has put into the comedy force are fucking retarded. I don't know how else to say that. They're just the worst fucking human beings. Do you know who Bert Kreischer is?
Yes.
The machine guy?
Yes.
Yes. I hate his fucking guts. I think he's one of the unfunniest pieces of shit. He makes up fucking stories, and now he's going to have a movie with his made-up story. Which I don't think many people are going to see.
That's the guy who does his set with no shirt on, right?
That's the no shirt gimmick, fat piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
His whole shtick is that he's drunk all the time and fat.
Right.
That's his entire shtick. So this guy got put on by Joe Rogan. There's a guy named Brendan Schaub who can't even speak properly. He's a UFC fighter who Joe Rogan told he needs to retire.
Oh, God.
Because the guy was getting his ass fucking whooped in the UFC.
Right.
And he was on Joe Rogan's show. He's a friend of his, so he's on Rogan's show. And, like, Rogan basically told him live on air, And there's clips. You could see, like, clips of this on YouTube. There's tons of clips of it where he tells a guy live on air, he's like, you don't have it. He's like, you're getting killed out there because you don't have it. It's time for you.
Right.
Like, it's time to get out of it. So maybe because he felt guilty about saying that to the dude, because the dude retired, like, pretty much soon after he said that, you know, and it was Joe Rogan was the one who told him to retire. Rogan puts him on to comedy. So he gets this guy a comedy special on HBO. Okay, this guy is untested, completely untested. He does this comedy special, and it fucking sucks. One of the worst rated comedy specials in the history of HBO. And that sent kind of ripples throughout the comedy community because this guy was a nothing. He was a fighter. He's a UFC fighter. And if you saw his jokes, you would see he's not a comedian. You know what he is? He's that idiot frat guy who's trying to tell you like semi-racist and sexist things that are just uncomfortable and you don't want to be near him. I'm sure you know the type.
Yes. I believe I do.
Sure you know the type. It's just like his jokes are like saying, you know, if an Asian guy tells him something, he does like an Asian voice. Like, bro, like what year is this? I couldn't believe that people actually watch this thing, you know?
Jesus.
So there's him. There's another guy like Brian Callen, who's just a fucking idiot piece of shit, too. Brian Callen is just a fucking moron. Like, he's something else. But he got Me Too'd big time.
Yeah.
Him, Krista Elia, who's still doing this thing.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He just got caught out. Somebody put out a documentary on Krista Elia that basically – I don't think he's actually doing any media right now because he got, like, really fucking called out. After
well,
he got called out the first time.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's funny. I haven't seen him in a while, but it was like, did you watch the show You on Netflix?
You?
Yeah.
No, I refuse to watch a show that glorifies a stalker in any way, shape, or form. I won't do it.
Okay. Well, the point being is that Krista Elia played a pedophile on that show.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And then, like, a month later, it came out that he really was a pedophile.
Yeah. Yeah, he was absolutely, like, you know, sexting with underage girls. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so was Brian Callen. They fucked both were, because Brian Callen doesn't have an original thought in his head. His comedy is from other people. He actually makes other people funnier because they hit on him. Like, I've watched countless clips of this dude just being himself, but other people around him are appearing really funny because they're just, like, roasting him. He's there to make other people funny. And he personally sucks. His comedy is just dog shit. It's like, these guys have, like, this weird hyper-masculine energy that's just not funny, including Rogan.
Right. Yeah, I never thought Rogan was particularly funny either.
He's not. The only reason I ever watched his clips of his podcast were because he has interesting guests, and because he's such a meathead, he asks dumb questions that I can understand. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, like he'll get like an astrophysicist on the show, and he'd be like, when we make rock, when rock was made, when we find rock, you know? And you're just like, oh, shit, I know that. Like, I know rocks.
I can relate to this. I can understand this answer.
I can relate to this shit. When did we make rocks? Where'd they come from? You know, that kind of like high-minded shit, you know? It's very, very, you know,
totally.
Very esoteric shit. So you get Rogan, and, like, all of these guys that I'm telling you about are, like, they have this hyper-masculine thing. Like, Brendan Schaub is a fighter, used to be a fighter, maybe tried to be a fighter, and he's not a comedian.
Right.
You got Brian Callen, who's just unfunny and also hyper-masculine. Like, so much dumb shit has happened that I'm not going to go into because it's like celebrity drama that's insane. But
yeah,
like there are these awful creatures that are now making money and being foisted into the public eye because of Joe Rogan's dumbness. And that man,
yep,
actually, like, he has been caught, like, just lying, just like saying things that are not true because somebody told him it.
Right. Well, yeah, especially I remember the, you know, he was getting put on blast for all the that horse tranq medicine for COVID shit where he was like, "Oh yeah, it worked."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he also did like everything. He did something, I can't remember what it is, but it's a procedure where they put like some kind of like super antibodies in you or some shit. I forget what it was, but it was something that's like really expensive that only he could have afforded, which is probably what helped him along. It was like a regenerative DNA thing or something. I think Trump may have also gotten it. It was something that basically like insta restores your body type of shit, but it's expensive.
Right.
But what the biggest thing that happened to him lately was that he was telling somebody about how his friend's wife said they were installing kitty litter in the bathrooms of their school for the people that identified as animals.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he said. Now, my first response when I heard that was bullshit. No way. There's no way, and we haven't gone that far. We haven't gone that far. And I was right.
Yep.
And anybody who thought that
was
right.
There are no kids running around identifying as cats. And
well, no, there are.
No,
there are. Well, that is true. I'm not kidding, man. I've seen some shit.
There are no school systems where they are putting in fucking litter boxes.
They're
or
not indulging
anything.
That. No,
yeah.
No.
They
are not indulging that. It's not happening. What somebody took and ran with was likely that somebody saw a bucket full of kitty litter. But as I know, and you may know, lots and lots of places use kitty litter as spill cleanups, including places that I've worked at and schools that I've been at. Kitty litter is a great, great liquid absorption tool. And you throw it on some liquid, it soaks it up, and then you sweep the fucking shit into the thing. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that blew up into Joe Rogan going on air and saying that they're installing kitty litter boxes in school for furry kids. Which, I mean, come on, man. Like a 2-second Google lookup, dude. 2 seconds.
Well, that's what's wild, and I think it's this day and age.
And he's
got
people, too, Mick. He's got people.
Oh, I know.
To do that for him.
I know. And I hate to, like, circle everything around to Trump and blame everything on Trump, but I do think this is a byproduct of him just saying whatever he wanted and not having people call him out on shit. Like, he just gets to make up his own narratives and speak his own warbled truth, and people are just like, oh, okay. Like, and they just take him for his word, even though he's been full of shit for 50 years. And I feel like this is kind of a byproduct of that, is that other people are like, okay, well, I can just kind of be out there and say some crazy shit and not a whole lot of people are going to call me out on it, so let me just say it and make a splash with my podcast or my, you know, social media or whatever. And then if it turns out to be untrue in a couple of weeks, then it'll die down and nobody will remember anyway. Like, there's like very little downside to just saying a bunch of crazy shit from a popularity and, like, you know, engagement standpoint.
I don't even know how to argue any of that because it's It got me thinking, too, because I think a couple of the worst things to happen to America in general in the last maybe 3-4 years, well, 5 technically, is Trump getting elected and COVID. I think both of those factors have contributed to a real deep change in American thinking, and or at least has highlighted it, maybe, because I know a lot of relationships were kind of irrevocably destroyed and tainted because of COVID. A lot of people, well, maybe not a lot, but a people I know actually came away with stronger relationships during that time. But that lockdown and the political divide, I said, what kills me about, like, okay, so we know why Trump is a factor for why people are awful. We know that. I mean, the man is awful. He's always been awful. We can absolutely attribute it to that. But those people did exist before Trump was a politician. And they were usually voting for, like, the McConnells and the Romneys and shit like that. So they were there, but Trump was a pretty good – he was a pretty good rallier for the more disgusting aspects of humanity. I mean, the man has always been a person of vice. He's always he's always dallied in vice. He's never virtue. This man has never been a virtuous man.
No.
And I say that with utmost confidence because we know who he is. You know, we have that experience.
Yeah.
So he's always been that guy. So these so-called Christians leaning into that, like, they're the ones who they're the ones who flipped their shit when Janet Jackson dropped her titty out in the fucking Super Bowl. And to be honest with you, man, I don't think titties should be sexualized. Not that they shouldn't be treated as a sexual organ, but breasts are the foundation of life. They are something that everyone has been a part of, unless you didn't breastfeed. Women breastfeed their children. They're udders, basically. Like, while I don't necessarily believe that everybody should have their nips out all the time, although I would like that, honestly.
Speak for yourself. Scratch that.
I do want everybody topless. What am I talking about? There's no reason everybody should be able to have their tits out, men and women. And I have some pretty hefty man boobs right now, so I feel qualified to talk about this. I really do. But that's just, you know what I mean? Like that's a convention that women's breasts are something to be hidden. You know, it's a silly convention that we in America play along with, even though there's plenty of other countries, that don't give a shit. You know, I think France is one of them. They're just like, tits, who gives a shit? Tits?
Yeah.
Who cares about tits? You know, and England too. I think it's they don't have as big of a problem with boobs as we do. But you remember the scandal that happened when that boobie flopped out, man? Everybody blamed Janet. Everybody blamed Janet. It wasn't just her. She didn't rip her own shit off. But she got the majority of that hate from who?
Overwhelming majority. Like, it wasn't like a 60-40 majority. It was like a 98-2 majority.
Yeah. Overwhelming majority. And take a breath, Mike. So she took the brunt of that, but the flap over that was insane, and it was just a nipple, man. It was just a boob. It's just a booby, dude. It was just a booby. Now, did they plan that? I believe they did. Because when he ripped it off, do you remember what the lyrics of that song are?
I don't recall offhand.
Okay, well, this is what he said when he ripped it off. I'm going to have you naked by the end of this song. That's the fucking line. And when he said he rips her tit off.
Yes.
It was planned, bro.
Yes. I agree.
There's no, just, like, come on, man. Come on, dude. Come on. I'm going to have you naked by the end of this song, and then you rip. Oh, my God, it's hitting. Bro, dude. Am I an idiot, dude?
You are not an idiot.
Like, come on, man. And they dump all that blame on Janet. So we know, and yet these same Christians are the one who flocked to Donald Trump, who has been a champion of vice and has made money off of vice for his entire life, obnoxiously, in fact.
That's why it doesn't, and that's what I don't understand about these people. Like, how can you? Because it is—it's the same people that went apeshit over the Janet Jackson thing, are somehow okay with Trump's behavior, 90% of which is worse and more damaging. You know what I mean? Like, even if you think showing your titty is a bad thing, Trump has still said, and like, how is grabbing them by the pussy not worse?
I know. I always come back to that, too. I always come back to that. You have
like,
this
how
man
is that not worse?
Who is encouraging somebody else to grab women by the pussy because if you're famous enough, you can get away with it. Now,
right.
This is not just braggadocio from Trump, because it's very, very possible that he's done this before.
Right.
He does have allegations against him. I mean, there's
yep.
a few different people, you know, that have come out. And that we're not even going to talk about the Stormy Daniels shit. It's just
right.
the guy is – no, we are going to talk about it because he had sex with this porn star while his wife was pregnant, his current wife. Like, so how – the wife that he made first lady. So why would you put these people in office? Their marriage is fucking broken. This dude is cheating on her with porn stars.
Yep.
Why would you put those people? If you had asked me 10 years ago, who is the most unchristian motherfucker you could think of, I probably would have said Donald Trump.
Yes.
If not, he'd be in the top five.
Right. I agree 100%
least.
With you. So then my question to you is this. Are they... And by they, I mean, you know, like a vast majority of these, like, Christian, you know, whatevers. Are they just full of shit, or are they blind?
Yeah.
Because it's got to be one of
no,
the two.
All of you, but no, it's all of it.
Because there's
they're
no
blind
way
because they're
full
of, they are so full of shit that they can't even see anymore.
Right.
Because,
like
because
you said,
if
there,
you can reconcile,
the most un-Christian person you could basically think of.
Yep.
There's no facet of his life where you're like, okay, yeah, that's a Christian values, you know. There's none of it. His business dealings, his personal dealings, his financial dealings, like none of it.
No, it's
and
it's
yet somehow
all
these
awful.
People have decided that like he's their dude.
He has
and I just
said.
Don't get it.
He has said. Bankruptcy has been a great business plan for him. He has said that bankruptcy has been a very useful tool for him in his businesses. Bankruptcy means for a company that everybody who works there gets their jobs and their livelihood taken away from them immediately. That's what bankruptcy is. It's not.
It's basically.
Oops,
it's basically.
I can't pay
either
you.
A last resort. Yeah, I was gonna say it's a last resort, but it also has been used by people like him to deflect some of their responsibilities and basically push it on those who already can't afford
I would say
to
most.
Have them pushed on them. Yeah.
I would say most of their responsibilities for Trump in Trump's case.
Right.
In Trump's case, because there are very many people that would say he owes money to, not the least of which is a piano shop that I had heard about. I probably told this story before, But I read an article about a mom and pop piano shop guy who was, you know, very intricate artisan piano maker. I mean, the guy was a small shop. I mean,
yeah,
you know, that's you know what, like a piano shops are probably all mom and pop shops at this point. You know, there's not a super high demand for,
yeah, probably
for piano makers at this point, but especially craftsmen, you know. But Trump gives this guy a contract, and it's, I think it's literally just him and his wife running the business. So he gives the guy a contract for all these pianos. The guy does all these pianos. You know, he makes it. I don't know if he got like a down payment on it. I hope that he did, just being a business owner, but I don't remember that particular aspect of the story. But basically he gave Trump the product and Trump never paid him for it. And then, you know, when Trump's business went under, the pianos were some of the things that got repossessed, but they were his, and he never got the pianos back either. He never got paid by Trump because Trump went bankrupt, and he also never got his pianos back because they got repossessed by the bank or whoever the fuck it was he was defaulting to. But and the guy's business was ruined, absolutely ruined, because he had put all of that product, he had paid for all of that product, you know, that he made, all of this awesome artisan product. And that's no sweat off Trump's back, and never was. I can't understand how you could ever think this guy is a good person. Just based on that, man. Just based on that. And then hearing him say, bankruptcy is deliberate from me, like I do that on purpose. Like, yeah, I've been bankrupt four times. It's worked out, you know?
Yeah.
For you to like callously say that?
I was gonna say it's one thing, like, if you have, you know, if you go through a bankruptcy and like as like a last resort thing and you like genuinely feel bad for the people who were affected, that's one thing. But you can clearly tell that that's not the case in the situation. Like, it's a strategic move to save his ass.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that he's done before. Like, when he did that once, it was, you can think like, oh, you know, I guess it just didn't work out this time. But that, you know, the guy has gone bankrupt at least four times that I know about. There may be more. May be more. But, you know, at least four of his companies have gone under. And his charity in New York went under because they were stealing from it.
Not to mention that right before he gets elected, he settles with students over his bullshit university for $25 million. Like, how did that not, like, stop this?
Disqualify you?
Like, yeah. Like, he had to settle for $25 million for defrauding his own students. And again,
I don't know how you can call yourself a Christian and think that Donald Trump is anything good. He fits the bill of the Antichrist. He really fucking does. Like,
yeah.
You know, except I think the Antichrist can speak different languages, and I don't think Trump can barely speak English. I don't think he's ever going to be able to speak any other language.
That is true. And I'm sorry, like, you know, as far as like the whole grab him by the pussy comment, you don't make that comment like randomly and flippantly unless you know that to be the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way he hasn't at least tried that or something similar. Like, there's no way, and especially he's speaking to fucking a rando. He's speaking to fucking Billy Bush. It's not like he's speaking to one of his close personal friends. So, like, the fact that he can just say that to basically a stranger.
He doesn't have any of those, Nick.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The fact that he can make a remark like that.
Right. The fact that he can make a remark like that to somebody he barely knows means he's done some shit.
Dude, this motherfucker has ties to Jeffrey Epstein. He has ties to Jeffrey Epstein.
Yep.
He has ties. Let me say that again. Donald Trump has ties to Jeffrey Epstein.
as does Bill Clinton, as does Elon Musk, as does Bill Gates. And the right loves to shit on Bill Gates about his vaccine research. You know, that's why a lot of these MAGA people hate Bill Gates. They really think that this motherfucker is trying to put microchips into your shoulder, my man. Like, they legit believe that.
It's fucking
they
crazy.
They legit believe that. They believe that shit. You know who is doing
that, though? He's putting microchips into people. Who?
You know who is doing that, though?
Who?
Elon. Elon Musk is literally doing that. Companies has, like, a microchip product you can put in yourself that verifies your medical data or something like that. Like, he's literally – Elon Musk is trying to chip people.
Interesting.
And they say Bill Gates is – Bill Gates ain't trying to do that shit. But Elon is, and he's the fucking right-wing's media darling now.
Yeah.
Because he just went anti-woke.
I was going to say the Bill Gates is trying to microchip people, but he's also trying to kill off the planet so that he can make more money off of whatever. I don't even remember what the whole narrative was on that. But Bill Gates was killing off people. I don't know.
Bill Gates doesn't need to make any more money. Correct.
Right.
Bill Gates, Bezos too. These are guys who never, ever need to work again. Like, Bezos could retire right now and live the rest of his stupid fucking life in wherever he wants. You know, the dude's loaded.
Yep.
The dude's absolutely fucking loaded. I mean, man, we sure veered off of Chris Rock. Let's get back to the special. Let's talk about the special.
Yes.
You know, honestly, I can't remember too much of what his opening material was, but I will say that it doesn't matter because I did think it was good. I thought it was a good Chris Rock special, and it was exactly what I expect out of a comedy show. There could be slow parts. It's a show. It's like watching a movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
You,
there's like ebbs and flows.
You watch.
Like, it's not going to be.
Yeah.
It's not going to be 100% hard hitting. It's not going to be like, you know, haymakers left and right. Like, you know, there's, and especially for like an hour long stand up skit, there's a pace and there's inflection and there's so much like nuance to it. I mean, you know this more than I do. I've actually done it, but like, there is. It's a performance, and there are like, you know, ways to, you know, bring up a topic and deviate and then kind of go from there and, you know, bring it back around and do a callback and stuff like that. Like, there's so much that goes into it.
And Chris Rock is an amazing fucking performer. He always has been. Like, after – I thought he was brilliant on SNL. He made some of the funniest shit that I've ever seen. Like, I want to – I think Armand is probably the only other person I know who really remembers that shit because he was – he was just as into SNL as I was at that time. And fucking Chris Rock, Chris Farley, Sandler, Spade, like that crew is like one of the all-time greatest crews on that show. Mike Myers and Dana Carvey also.
No doubt.
You know, like that's a fucking legendary SNL crew, and Chris was 100% part of that. And then he gets that onto the stand-up stage. And he, like I said, he turns into a goddamn predatory beast on that shit. He is a fucking master comedic performer, period. Nobody else can take that away from him. He is a pleasure to watch on stage. And even though I didn't like some of his material, it was a dope-ass comedy special because it made me remember what comedy specials are supposed to be. It's supposed to be a fucking show for you.
Right. And the thing is, like, with some of the criticism, like, I just don't, like, you know, they were saying he was, you know, again, like, so antiquated and stuff like that. And, you know, he was, you know, using the N-word and calling people bitches and stuff like that. And I'm like, and again, like, who do you think
it's
you're dealing with? Like, I remember.
I can't remember
if it was the Bring the Pain or the Bigger and Blacker, but you'll probably remember this. He did a 10-minute bit about, you know, I'm going to say the N-word. He said about black people versus niggas. And it was like a whole thing about the difference between black people and
doing it. It's super depressed, by the way.
Right. So it's like these people are like, oh my God, I can't believe he used the N-word so many times. It's like, who do you think this is? Like, where have you been for the last 30 years? This is what he does.
Yeah, I know. He's just Chris Rock, man. He's established, okay?
And listen, I get it. Like, if you're a 25-year-old comic now, okay, maybe don't do that bit. You know what I mean? But, you know.
Dude,
if you're Chris Rock, you're not going to reinvent the wheel and start all of a sudden.
Chris Rock is one of the greatest comedians of all time to me, and also definitely one of the greatest black comedians on the planet. I mean, without fail. Like, there is nobody who can touch that. I mean, like, he's, you know, personally, Richard Pryor is always going to be my favorite because, you know, my parents did watch comedy. So I was lucky in that. And that's when I discovered, like, I actually knew of Andrew Dice Clay as a kid because I could hear my dad listening to him and shit. And I, honest to God, I never liked him. I always thought he was trash. I was like, this guy's just saying, like, he's literally just saying like nasty shit in not even that clever of a way, you know, like with his nursery, dirty nursery rhymes and shit. I was like, this is a performance. This guy's a character, just like Larry the Cable Guy. Dice was a character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a character, and that's. But I've been dealing with comedy my whole life because I loved it. I even, like I said, I even studied the shit I didn't like. I would listen to, you know, I would eagerly listen to the Dice shit and the Kinison shit that I heard because that's what was popular when I was that age, when I was, you know. So I've always loved comedy, even though some of it is shit. And you know what? Do I say let's cancel Andrew Dice Clay? No. Just don't watch his shit. If he sucks as a comedian, his numbers are going to show that.
Right. And he's going to fade away in 5 years and people won't even pay attention. Yeah.
Comedy is sacred to me and parody is sacred. Like anything South Park does, even if I don't agree with it, I'm going to co-sign it.
Yes, I agree.
I'm going to co-sign it. Like I think they did Al Gore a little bit wrong, but it was so funny. Like I just don't care.
Right.
I just don't care. We need comedy. It's like there has got to be somebody, and this is why I think comedy is sacred. There has got to be somebody who looks at everything else from a place of otherness, or a place above or below, who can see the landscape and say, "Oh shit, that's crazy. Why do we do that? Maybe we shouldn't do that anymore." We need people like that. That's what comedians are supposed to be. They're supposed to show us all of the ridiculous shit that we do that doesn't necessarily make sense.
And like you said, it's like a spotlight on a moment in time.
It is. It's a show. You have to view a comedy special as a show. Did you like parts of the show? Yes. Did you like the majority of the parts of the show? Yes. Then it did its fucking job.
Yep. I agree.
Not every comedy special is going to be banger after banger after banger after banger. It just, life doesn't work like that.
Exactly.
And because they are jokes, they don't deserve to be judged as statements.
Right.
Now, Dave Chappelle be fucking everybody up because you can't tell when this motherfucker is joking or not anymore. You know? Like, he is problematic. Like, I love Dave Chappelle, and the Chappelle Show is also, to me, one of the greatest comedic performances I've ever seen in my life. I thought Chappelle's show was one of the most brilliant additions to comedy I have ever seen. I hold that up there with South Park. South Park and the Chappelle show, to me, some of the funniest parodic material out there. Makes you think, makes you laugh.
Yep.
That's the best shit. But Chappelle, my man, is just, like I said, he was punching down. I just can't condone that these days. It's not my bag anymore.
I agree.
Can't do that shit.
But it's funny because all the people who were talking about how Chris Rock was basically doing like a right-wing comedy set, you know, you mentioned that he was like workshopping some of that stuff on tour, which I saw one of the shows. I saw him and Kevin Hart to a show at Prudential Center a few months ago. And it's funny because I actually thought that show that he did live was like more geared towards that because he went on a whole rant on Hillary that he didn't bring up in the Netflix special. And I was just thinking, like, all these people who were, like, pissing and moaning about how he was so, like, you know, he might as well have done a right-wing set. I'm like, oh, my God, if they'd only heard the fucking Hillary shit.
Really? What was his complaint with Hillary? I have complaints with her, too, but that's
God, I'm going to – oh, so basically he was blaming, like, the last 5 or 6 years on – Hillary, like the whole Trump thing on Hillary, because he's like, all Hillary had to do, I'm going to get the joke wrong. I forget the state. It might have been Iowa or Pennsylvania. One of those like swing states. He's like, all Hillary had to fucking do was campaign in Iowa. Just show up one or two times, talk to some kids, talk to a couple farmers, and, you know, she would have won that state, and she would have won a couple other states, and she would have won the election. Like, all she had to do was... You know, she basically saying like she counted her chickens before they were hatched, and if she had just put in some legwork and done some like basic campaigning, that she would have won in 2016, and we wouldn't have had this whole nightmare that's been the last 5 years. So it was basically blaming her, you know, not blaming Trump or the Republicans or the American people. It was basically Trump blaming Hillary for being lazy and resting on her laurels and thinking she would just win. So that kind of thing.
I do blame Hillary a little bit. I do blame her.
Oh, no,
there's definitely
some truth in that. But my point is, if he had said that on the next Netflix special, I feel like the criticism would be 10 times worse. Oh, my God, you're attacking Hillary.
Yeah, he definitely would have got branded right-wing, but that's it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like Hillary Clinton, you're a right-winger, which is...
Right, which is weird.
Again, you know, another person with Epstein connections. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not going to trust motherfuckers with Epstein connections. That's just...
Right.
It seems like a good move for me, you know? Her husband especially, but I know Hillary has been around it. I know that shit.
Oh, yeah,
Because there's pictures. Because there's pictures, you know?
Yep.
Of these people being together. If you flew on that motherfucker's plane on his island, like, especially if you did it, like, more than once or twice, like, you know what I'm saying? You know.
There are some skeletons there for sure, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, dude, did you see that picture of Prince Andrew at Epstein House with an underage girl?
I actually don't think I saw that one, but...
There's a picture of... Prince Andrew with standing with an underage girl. Nobody knows who the fuck she is. And Epstein was like standing in the background. Like this is on his island.
It's crazy.
Like, this was crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like I said, like you have all these right wing maniacs crying about underground pedophile rigs and shit like that. It's not underground anymore, folks.
Right.
Like, we know all of the players at this point, you know? Maybe not all,
because
I'm sure Delaney has some names that we haven't heard yet, and I'm sure we'd be shocked. I'm sure we would. Or not. Maybe not. Like, if Charlie Sheen popped up on that list, I would not be surprised. I would not.
even remotely be surprised.
No, I would not either.
Winning. Winning? How could you be winning at AIDS, dude? You can't be winning at AIDS. You don't win at AIDS.
Oh, God. You know what's crazy? I feel like he was so, like, out there in the public eye when all that shit was going on, and I can't remember the last time I heard a story about that guy.
I'm kind of glad I'm not hearing stories about him anymore.
Oh, I know. I'm not. Yeah, that wasn't a complaint. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just weird. He was everywhere for, like, 3 months. And now it's just like he's just kind of, I don't know.
He's been like he's been like in and out of the public eye, just in the I don't think he's done much since all of that shit went down. Like I think he was doing like something else and it fell through. Like the guy, I don't know if he got better or he just I don't know what's going on with him, and honestly I think it's just great to not hear his name for a while.
Right.
Like, I watched his interviews where he's, like, winning and talking about, like, Tiger DNA
blood.
And Dragon's
yeah,
Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tiger Blood and all this other
oh,
shit.
Yeah.
And honestly, he just seemed, like, really fucked up on shit and unhinged. He looked like he was going through withdrawals or something, bro. Like, it was just
Yeah, it was not good.
And at this point, plus, like, I hear, you know, Corey Feldman was saying that Charlie Sheen actually raped Corey Haim, which is, like, insane.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, Corey Feldman's pretty whack, too, but I don't disbelieve what he says.
No. Yeah, crazy.
How do we get on the fucking Corey's? Yeah, but so... So all right, so let's finish with the Chris Rock special.
Okay.
So he got to the part with Will and Jada, and the reason I asked you if you noticed that he didn't say Jada's name once, it's because he told Will he was going to keep his wife's name out of his mouth.
Ah.
Do you know that this petty motherfucker Chris Rock, and I love him for this. You know that set that he did, the live set for the Netflix special, was done in Jada's hometown? Did you know that?
I did not realize that. That's pretty funny.
This motherfucker, yeah, he went beyond petty, which is, to me, it's hysterical because this woman is petty. Like, she's a very petty person. For you to,
right.
like, ruin, you know what I mean? For you to look at your husband and be like, and this, like, let's talk about her reaction real quick to what Will Smith did. We already talked about what a bitch-ass move that was. But this woman didn't tell him, you know, what the fuck are you doing? She didn't say that shit to him. This bitch was laughing.
Yep.
She was laughing.
She's like the puppet master.
All right, brother, you got to go? You got to go back to work?
Yeah, unfortunately.
All right, my man. We'll end it. We'll cap it here then. It's good talking
All
to
right.
you.
All right. You too, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Night, sweetie.
Later.